bless you. Well, good evening, everybody.
Oh, yes, turn my mic on.
All right, I think we got that done. All right, very good. It's a pleasure to be here. I have heard so much about this church from a mutual friend, Brother Dr. Don Smith, and he always told me that if I ever got here, I had to go into the men's restroom. And so the first thing I did today when I got here is I said, Brother, it's good to see you, but I got to check something out. And we went in, and that's neat. I like that. Aquarium, very nice. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to come and to be a part of what I call one of the greatest conferences that a church can have. Amen. You know, it's a shame today you can have all kinds of programs and people will flock to those. But when you start talking about missions and faith promise conferences, it seems like it's hard to get the people to become faithful. But I'm so glad to see a good number out tonight as we begin this conference. And I trust that the Lord will bless and through this week meet our needs. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, brother, for the invitation to come. I'm sure you're probably wondering what I'm going to preach on tonight. And I'll be honest with you, so am I. I had it all planned out. I've been thinking and praying over the last few weeks as I knew this date was coming and started looking at what I felt like I want to do. And now the Lord has changed everything. And so we're excited about whatever we're going to hear. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to do me a favor and turn to the book of Luke chapter 7, if you will. Luke chapter 7. It's a little strange maybe for a faith promise conference, the message. But I want you to listen, and I want you to pay attention, because when I get to a point in this message, I believe it'll all come together of why we're calling this a faith promise conference. It's not what you can do. It's what God can do through you. You know, the Bible tells us that we as Christians are not to live by sight. We're to live by faith. And I believe personally, may I say something, and I'm not here to offend anybody, but I have my own church, I know my people, and maybe I'm just preaching to my people as far as this concerns. But I believe that we as Christians today, we say we live by faith. But honestly, do we really live by faith? Faith is not knowing, not understanding, not seeing, but just simply trusting and letting God be God in our life. And I believe in my own church, and I'm so thankful for my people. They've been so good in giving to Faith Promise. But I really believe that probably when it comes to Faith Promise, what we really do is we look at what I can afford to give out of what I have. And that's not what faith promise is. Faith promise is getting alone with God and seeing what God wants to channel through me to missions. Beyond my ability and trusting Him to do it every week. Well, Luke chapter 7. And we're going to begin in verse number 1. And out of respect for the Word at my church, what we do, and we have the Bible, we just stand while I read the Scripture. If you'll do that, I'll read the Scripture, I'll have prayer, and then you may be seated. Verse number 1. It says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching them that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him, and when he was now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning unto the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Let's pray, shall we? Once again, Father, I thank you for this time together. And Lord, these good folks have gathered this week with one purpose in mind, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to have your word presented to them and God speak to their heart in this matter of supporting missions for the next year. And Lord, I'm just a man, but tonight I need your infilling. I need your power. I need your direction, and I need your words. Help me to be all that I need to be as I yield to you. And then, Lord, bless and meet with us tonight, would you please? And we'll thank you and praise you for already what you'll do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our passage, we find here some things that I think are very interesting. Jesus now is returning from the Sermon on the Mount, and he heads back to the city of Capernaum, where he has become his headquarters for his ministry at this time. The miracle of this passage, of course, deals with is concerning the centurion, a Roman soldier who is in charge of 100 men under his command. The centurions, if you read through the Bible, you'll find interestingly that the scripture always pictures them in a positive manner. If you'll remember, while Jesus was being crucified in Matthew chapter 27, the centurion looked up and saw Jesus, and truly, this is the Son of God. This was the Son of God. You see, always through the scriptures, they're pictured in a positive manner. Throughout Luke's gospel, we find people constantly being amazed at the miracles that Jesus did and things that he said and all the rest. But in this instant, if you'll look at verse number 9, you'll find that in this instance, Jesus was amazed. What an amazing thought that something caught his attention. Something thrilled him in this whole matter that we have. The centurion here demonstrates, of course, everything and every trait that Jesus ever taught. He was compassionate to his slave. He loved the Jewish people. He even, according to the scripture here, built him a synagogue. I mean, that was unusual back in those days for the Romans to do that. They even were so kind of him, loving him, that they were willing to go and beseech Jesus on his behalf as he asked them to do. If we're going to be what we ought to be and accomplish what this world needs today, then we need to have the faith that this centurion demonstrates in this passage of Scripture. We need to have the faith that amazes the Lord Jesus Christ, that marvels Him. Notice some things here that we find. Number one, we find here the moment of faith. Here this centurion had a servant who was sick. Now, it amazes me that this was not a family member. You know, I could have understood the concern if it would have been a wife or a child or a parent to have this concern of wanting to heal this slave, this servant. But it wasn't a family member. It wasn't even one of the soldiers. I had the privilege of serving 15 years in the Navy. And during those times, there were circumstances that kind of bond men together because of the things they go through, the things they witness, and it becomes that brotherhood that you hear about. And I can understand if it was maybe one of the soldiers that was in his command that he would have been certainly burdened over him and wanting him to get healthy and well again. I could understand that. But this was a slave. This was somebody that was not a part of his family. He was just someone to serve him. And yet he had the compassion that he ought to have. You know, the word compassion simply means your hurt felt in my heart. When he was speaking tonight about that motorhome, I guess that's basically the vehicle, I could understand that. I could understand how that would be a help to him, amen? And going around and meeting with these pastors, and certainly there's pastors out there that are hurting tonight, and what a help that is. And, you know, my heart began to move. I almost told my wife, I didn't do it, to write a check. Now, I can't cover $80,000, so don't get your hopes up. But because I felt that burden, amen? You see, that's what it is. When we look around outside of the walls of this building, there are people who are literally headed to a Christless eternity. Curacao, Taiwan, all over this world, people are dying and they're going to go to hell. Now, I'm not going to meet all of those people. I won't meet the people of Curacao. I won't know a lot of the pastors that this dear brother is going to meet. But you know what? When I realize the burden that they have, I ought to have the compassion that's demonstrated by this own centurion and have that hurt be felt in my heart as well. You know what? This, on the way down, up here, my wife had a gift certificate to Loft. Now, if you don't know what that is, don't feel bad, because I didn't either. When I was a boy growing up, we had a hayloft. But it's a women's clothing store. And so we stopped at this outlet thing, and they had a Loft. And so she said, well, I need to go in and buy something. And so, of course, I went in with her and stood like a bump on a log. She's looking around. A long time ago, she mentioned that she wanted a certain color sweater. And so I was just perusing through the store trying to hurry her up. And I happened to find that color sweater, and so I showed it to her. It had a sign on it, buy one, get one free. Yeah, well, the gift certificate only covered the one that you had to buy. No, it didn't even cover that, did it? No. So I had to put money with it. But the reason I did, why? Because she had a desire, and I felt that. I don't do it all the time, and you're not going to do it on the way home. But You see, when we have that burden of our family, it causes us to do those things, doesn't it? If one of your children is sick, your heart breaks for it. You feel their hurt. You feel their pain. Let me tell you something. As Christians, should we not feel the burden of people that are still unsaved? You know, if we're not careful, we can get so caught up into our churches, our circles of friends, and we forget, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, and I'm glad my wife's going to heaven, I'm glad my children are going to heaven, and I can celebrate that. And if I'm not careful, my vision can be tunnel vision to where I'm not as concerned about others. That's what missions does. It ought to give us that vision of looking beyond and seeing something beyond it. And certainly, we ought to do it. Take your Bibles and turn back with me very quickly to Matthew chapter 9, if you will. It's a familiar passage, but I want you to see it. Matthew chapter 9. Look with me at verse number 36. This is speaking of Jesus, and it says in verse 36, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice it says that Jesus, when he saw their need, he felt that. That's when he went to the cross. He felt my need to be saved. Amen. He was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means the people of Curacao, the people that these pastors represent, the people of Taiwan, the people that live next door to you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And certainly we ought to do that. That feeling of that hurt. This man had that moment of faith where he realized he could not help his servant. He could not do anything to relieve his pain. He could not do anything to heal his sickness. But he knew he had heard. He knew that there was one that could do it. And the only one that can help the lost of this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what your faith promise giving does in supporting these missionaries is that they will carry the hope of all that is for everyone to a lost and dying world. The moment of faith. Then I want you to see the manifestation of faith. Notice that here, when he realized that the only hope that his servant had was Jesus, and yet him himself realizing that he was not worthy. That word worthy means sufficient and ability to even enter into the presence of the Lord. He didn't have that, but he realized that the only hope was Jesus, that he now acted upon that faith. You see, here's the key. If I really feel and really believe in my heart that the only hope that the world has is people that are surrendered to go to the place that I can't go to, that I won't be able to go to, that God has not called me to, but they're willing to go. And if I see their need as God sees their need, then that's going to motivate me to act upon what I know needs to be done. Brother, what's your first your name? Bernard. I shouldn't remember that. Brother Bernard, let me ask you this. Do you have all the money you need to do the ministry that you want to do? No. So you're limited right now. But you have a burden for your people. So the only thing that's going to help him, when I get the same burden he has for the Curacaoing, I don't know how you pronounce that, Curacao people, is that I will then act upon that by my faith promise. You see, what motivates me not only to get involved in faith promise, but then to stay faithful in my faith promise is when I keep that burden of what he's doing and what he needs to have to keep him there doing it. Amen? And so the burden that he has is going to cause me to act upon that and give what I can and be found faithful in it. I love this that you have more than one camera. I was in a church one time that only had one camera, and I move a lot. And that poor guy back there was trying to keep up with me. And about the time he'd go one way, I'd go the other. But anyway, okay. I don't know why I got on that. It just... He realized that the only hope his servant had was Jesus. He needed to get him there to healing. Aren't you glad that one day you realized the only hope you had was Jesus? And did you know that that's the only hope the world has? There's nothing else that he could do. He could have done anything that he had. He was a centurion. He could have caused other things to happen. And all that he could have had done in his home, in his house, and all the rest of it. And yet, the only hope he had was Jesus. Then look at verse number 9. This is what I want to stay on. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. When I read that, I don't know how many times I've read this passage of scripture, but when I read it one time, God got a hold of my heart. And I asked myself the question, I wonder, does my faith cause Jesus to marvel at me? Do I live by such a faith and trust and confidence and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ that when he sees me, it amazes him. I want to be the guy that looks at, as Jesus did when he looked at him and he said, I found no greater faith in all of Israel than what this guy has. In all of Israel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the one day that we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he looks down at you and he says, Brother Alquist, I've watched you. I saw you. I observed you. And I want you to know that I saw no greater faith in Erie, Pennsylvania than what you displayed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? How can we amaze the Lord Jesus Christ? The just shall live by faith. Not by what I can do. Not what I have the ability to do. And here's where I think we've got it all wrong, is that we think we're living by faith when we go through the motions and we look at all of our bills and our income and we can choose and plan it and realize it and whatever we can do with it. And then we just say, well, I'm trusting God to do it. No, what it means is that I'm giving it to God and saying, God, what can you do with it? And then you're going to take care of me. I've always wanted to do this. I haven't yet. I'd like to have a give all Sunday. What I'd like to do is challenge my people on their payday to take their paycheck and just stick it in the offering plate. And just trust God to meet their needs for that week. Wouldn't that be something? So, you going to do it? Boy, I got everybody, oh no. After I do it. But you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. If I went around tonight and said, how many of you could use the money that you give to Faith Promise to help buy the motorhome? To pay your bills, put your kids in school, whatever. We all could we not? Some years ago, down the street from me, they had a big yellow pickup truck for sale. I loved it. It was beautiful. I told my wife, boy, I'd like to have that pickup truck. And she said, we can't afford it. I said, you know, and I got to thinking, but if I just didn't give my faith promise? Then she reminded me, the Holy Spirit, if you bought the pickup truck with your faith promise, it probably would never run. And that's true. But you see, what I'm saying tonight is, oh, we all have things we could buy. We all have little things that we would love to have. But do we really need those? And if I'm willing to give by faith, and trust God to meet my needs. The brother said it tonight. $80,000 is nothing to the Lord. Nothing. Isn't that true? And so if $80,000 isn't anything to God, he can meet that need without any problem at all. Can he meet the need that you have in your home as well? I don't know about you, but I want to stand before the Lord one day and I want to hear. I don't know if I'll hear. I'm a man just like you are. I fail God all the time and it bothers me. But my greatest desire and want in this life is to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. But more, and along with that, I'd love to have him say, Jim Moore, I observed your faith and it just amazed me. It thrilled me to watch you trust me and how I blessed you. You know, when you get blessed a little bit by God, it just causes you to want to get blessed again. Trust him. Trust him. I wonder tonight, ask yourself, right now, if you stood before the Lord, do you have faith that amazes him? That causes him to marvel at what you do? In your giving to missions, in your support of the church, of your loving God, oh, we ought to have that. Does he marvel at our lack of faith? You know, the disciples even said, Lord, increase our faith. They realized that they needed to have a little more faith. Maybe tonight we need to say to God, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I want to have faith that just says, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. My wife and I got saved after I'd been in the Navy for about 12 years. And shortly after that, God began to work in my heart about getting out and going into the ministry. And so we go into a little independent Baptist church, and the first thing we heard about was tithing. And we looked at each other and said, And so I said, well, let's try it. Let's see if it works. And so we began to tithe. Now, if you've ever been in the service, you know you don't make a lot of money anyway. And so we tithe. Then preacher had a missions conference, Faith Promise Missions. And the Lord began to speak to our heart about missions giving. And I thought, oh, man, they always want every bit of money I got. But we went home, prayed about it. And I remember that first conference. Boy, we gave a whopping $5 a week. I thought, whew, we're really good. But you know what? God put our two daughters into a private school, paid for it. God started showing himself real. Every year we've been increasing, increasing, increasing. And you know what? God just keeps increasing his blessings and pouring them out. You know what? I've learned one thing. You just can't outgive God. If you're doing what God wants you to do. That's what this fellow, he realized. He had a faith in God. And God did only what he could do. And then notice the miracle of that faith in verse number 10. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. You know, one of the greatest things I think is going to be an exciting day is the day we get to heaven. That rapture takes place. Every soul that's ever been saved is brought off this earth, gathered into that place. What a great day that's going to be. And we get to the heaven and we start walking those golden streets and we start meeting people that come up to us and said, man, I know you don't know me, but I'm got a full understanding now. And I remember when you paid and you sacrificed and you gave by faith to missions. And because of that, that missionary carried the gospel to me. And he presented to me the wonderful saving information that I needed to have. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I'm in heaven today. And I just want to thank you. I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like it could be a shouting spell. Made whole. You say, well, preacher, not all the world's going to get saved. I know that. I realize that not everybody's going to get saved. But I do believe this. Everybody ought to have the opportunity to get saved. Amen? One old great, I think he was a missionary, said this. Not everybody ought to hear the gospel message twice until everybody's heard it once. And how true that is. We have a responsibility. That's what this conference is for. It is simply to take what God has entrusted to us and trust him as this centurion did and to give it by faith. Increase my faith. Help me to be found faithful so that others can know Jesus as their Savior. So how's your faith tonight? Do you have a faith that is starting? Now, you say, preacher, this is Faith Conference. Yes, and I'm going to get into Faith Promise a little bit. But it all starts with my faith. Amen. If I don't have faith, I'm not going to accomplish anything for the Lord. It's that faith that saved you. Amen? And it ought to grow. It ought to be maturing faith. Trusting him. If you're not tithing, you ought to tithe. Amen? And by the way, that just takes care of the needs here. You're enjoying the heat and air conditioning and the lights and the sound system and the radio, all the programs that you have here. It's all because you've been faithful in your tithing. But that's not for missions. If you're giving an offering, that's wonderful. Maybe you've got a building project or you've got something going on, the buses or something you might give to, or a ministry of some kind. And that's wonderful as an offering, but that doesn't go to missions. And the only way that we can get these missionaries supported and keep them on the field is when I make that determination that by faith I'm going to do what God wants me to do. So let me ask you tonight. If you had to stand before the Lord right now, would He say to you that you have a faith that has amazed Him, marveled at it? Can I increase my faith? Can I become more faithful? If you read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you talk about the Macedonian church, and it's what literally is talking about faith promise. And you get down about verse 2 or 3, and Paul says, they didn't give as I had hoped they would give. They gave above and beyond. And how did they do it? They first gave themselves to the Lord. You see, if I'm going to do anything for God, it's got to be the first thing I do is I realize this is His. This is His. Everything I have. And I need to give it over to Him, yielding to Him. That's where it starts, and increasing your faith after that. So tonight, just a short message to start you thinking about faith. Increasing faith. Amazing faith. Marveling faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Is that what will amaze Him? Father, tonight, I want to thank You for the privilege it is to have You in my life. Thank You that somewhere along the way, someone shared with me my need of trusting You as Savior. And that at one time I trusted You. And now, Lord, I want to thank You for loving me that much. And Lord, I pray that as we gather, my desire, and I believe truthfully the desire of all these that are here, is that our faith would be that which would please You, would honor You, would glorify You, and above all, maybe even cause You to marvel. Help us, Lord, to develop that kind of faith and trust in You. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that has not yet given that self, yielded themselves to You, and trusted You as Savior, may tonight be that night above all else that they would rejoice as they have yielded themselves and trusted You. Now, Lord, bless this invitation. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder how many in the building tonight would say, "Preacher, I know for sure if I died right now, I'm going to go to heaven. I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I am assured of heaven for all of eternity." As a testimony to that, would you just slip your hand up very quickly? Thank you. God bless you. You can put them down. That's wonderful. What a testimony. Now I wonder, out of those that just raised your hand, how many would say, "You know, preacher, I want a faith that amazes God. I want a faith that marvels Him, that honors Him, that causes Him to rejoice. And I want my faith to increase." Wonder, would you just pray for me? Here's my hand all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands tonight. God bless you. Thank you. Let me just ask this, and just in case, I wonder if there's one tonight that does not yet know for sure that they've trusted Jesus as their Savior, that heaven's their home. And they'd say, "Brother Moore, I wonder if you'd just be my friend and just pray for me that I could get that settled." Now listen, I'm not going to come and drag you down, and I'm not going to call your name if I know it. But I'd like to be your friend and just pray for you by need if you'd let me. I wonder if there's one that just slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just pray for me?" Anyone like that in the building, just slip it up high enough for me to see it. Put it right back down. Anyone? Father, tonight, certainly You've seen the hands But more importantly, you've seen the hearts. I believe sincere people have indicated this need of increasing faith, causing that faith to please you. And so tonight, help us maybe to even come to this old altar, this place where we die to self and present ourselves as a living sacrifice, a place where we worship you and praise you, and maybe ask you to help us this year to do even more for the cause of worldwide missions through faith than ever before. Bless the invitation as it's extended, and we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Would you just stand to your feet? The instrument's playing an invitation. If you need to come tonight, just get alone with God and say, Lord, help us. I want to be greater in my faith than ever before. I want an increase. I want God to use me more this year than ever before.